Heterodorks. Heterodox dorks.
Hello, TERFs and trannies. Boy, we have a giant episode for you this week that we have divided into two parts. It is with the political activist Brianna Wu, who has been facing criticism from other people on the left recently due to Brianna giving support to Israel in its fight against Hamas. Our conversation ranges all over the place into some areas that you may expect and might not expect, but this is in two parts, so check it out.
Are those your real eyebrows? They're so gorgeous. I can't even believe that.
You're talking about Karina's eyebrows, right?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
It's such a gorgeous angle.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong. This is,
do you think so?
This is just not even, these aren't even cleaned up. This is just...
Yeah, but it's a beautiful high arch. I really envy that. That's very pretty.
It's my half-Jew heritage. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, well, I got...
That's where I fucked up.
See, I told you, Nina. Rihanna's not Jewish.
I've got whole Jew heritage, and these little things are my eyebrows. Just saying.
They're very faint on camera. You should use some eyelash
They're
mascara.
They're faint in real life, and
oh, that's okay.
The
yeah.
makeup, yeah. We did a whole episode about makeup.
That was a
different thing. But let me introduce this one. Hello, TERFs and trannies. You are listening to Hetero Dorks. I am your co-host, Nina Paley, with very faint eyebrows.
I am your other co-host, Corinna Cohn. I had something perfect lined up earlier, Nina, and I've already forgotten it.
Oh, my That's goodness. The way. So, you know, I feel like I have a unique experience because depending on who you ask on Twitter, I'm either a TERF or a tranny. So it's really good that I'm here
You've
today.
Called you a know? TERF?
You get the whole gamut. Oh, all the time. Just
who
constantly.
Calls you a TERF?
Recently.
Oh, recently.
Everybody.
Recently. I promise you, Brianna Wu, I will not call you a TERF.
Thank you. That's very offensive.
I will call you a tranny, but not a TERF.
Oh, okay. Well, I have thick skin. That's okay.
All right. So could you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Brianna Wu. I think my most important credential is I'm the second fastest Princess Peach speedrunner in the entire world is Super Mario Brothers 2. I was also a congressional candidate in Massachusetts in 2018. I do a lot of political stuff. I serve on a bunch of boards, run a bunch of nonprofits, and just try to do good however I can do it.
Excellent. Well, welcome. We're excited.
Oh, and most importantly, I took the Zionist Super Soldier Serum very recently,
yeah.
which has really been very helpful.
Oh my gosh. Does that give you access to the space lasers?
I don't have that. I'm impervious to the space lasers. So I will be there fighting the enemies of Israel, and then the laser will come down and I'll just be fine. It'll be great.
The enemies of Israel, you can find a whole bunch of them on the quad at Columbia University.
Yeah. God, are y'all okay? I mean, jokes aside, it's really been tough seeing that bullshit this week.
I'm not actually okay, to be honest. And
I'm sorry.
A very non-Zionist, critical of Zionism, secular,
sure.
atheist Jew. And I never thought I would see overt anti-Semitism. And I'm very... shocked. I'm very shocked and very upset.
Yeah. I'm, you know, it's coming from my party and, you know, the progressive movement. So I don't know what else to say except I'm genuinely sorry. It's embarrassing. I don't know why more people in the Democratic Party are not serious about cleaning house. This shit is cancer and it needs to go. It's anti-American. It's anti-democracy. And I hope you can hear me when I say I'm genuinely sorry. We should not have let it get to this point, and I feel responsible for that.
So
why would you feel responsible for that?
Well, you know, Gamergate in 2010, you know, we kind of pioneered this SJW model of moralizing everything. And I think if you made a list of the public figures that kind of brought us to this point of this progressive movement, I would certainly be on there. I knew things were getting really bad with the women's movement and seeing people look the other way on wildly anti-Semitic statements. And it was a gut check time. I was running for Congress at the time. And I said, what? This is not a public fight I want to pick. And I just assumed anti-Semitism was a problem the right had. So I shut my mouth, kept my head down. And now we're here today. So that was the wrong call.
Why do you think you are noticing this and concerned about this when so many others on your side have the opposite position?
I truly don't know. I don't. It seems like the most straight, like you said, there are different opinions on Zionism and Israel. I'm not a Netanyahu fan, but just the dignity of Jews at home. This seems really straightforward to me. So I don't know. Do either of you have any thoughts on that? What do you see that maybe I can't see because I'm on the inside?
Well, you're an outlier on, yeah. I would have said a year ago on a scale of 1 to 5, where 1 is far left and 5 is far right, where would you expect Brianna Wu's politics to be? I'd say between a 1 and a 2 somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe closer to a 1 than a 2, but.
No, probably closer to a 2.
Okay. Probably closer to a 2.
I mean, I'm not a communist. I've always thought that's just garbage.
That's a 1. A 1 would be communism.
That's like a 0.
A 0. Okay. But what I've noticed, and this is something that's very perplexing to me for a couple of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
On October 8th, there were protests, like supposedly pro-Palestine protests all over the place on October 8th. Israel hadn't even done anything yet. They were in the middle of reacting to what had happened to them.
Yeah.
And all of these protests were like strongly coded to be anti-Israel. Some of them were coded to be anti-Jew.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't like to see where this is going because I don't think that I'm a Zionist, but I have criticisms of the settlers because there's fight for territory, and there's a lot of this stuff should be solved in a legal way. There should be adults at the table solving all this. It shouldn't be solved with violence. But this protest stuff is blowing my mind. The thing that really broke my brain is mm-hmm. that over the next couple of weeks, the most, many, not all, but many of the most loud-voiced critics of Israel or proponents for Hamas or Palestine were people who identified as non-binary. I was like, this is...
You're not wrong.
This
You're not wrong.
Is completely...
Yeah, it kind of goes together, right? Like, they're just like non-binary people's mission is the destruction of gender, the gender binary. They feel the same way about democracy and, you know, stability and borders. So, of course, those are linked beliefs. That's not surprising.
How is there even a possibility of a left American party that is trying to vie for power in a democracy if a significant portion of the left does not believe in the institution of democracy?
I don't know. I don't think you can. This is why, yeah, you know, some of my friends on the left have been like, Brianna, why are you talking about this so goddamn much? And it's just like, because the entire fate of the fucking left is on the line here. Let's be really, really clear. If you believe in democracy, you can't stand with this settler colonialist blood and soil bullshit that doesn't recognize borders, doesn't care about peace, minimizes burning babies alive. Like, it's just not democratic. So your assessment is bad as I think the Republicans are.
Now,
as much of a threat as I think Donald Trump is, you're absolutely right. This is a threat to democracy itself.
I agree with a lot of that, but we're antinatalists, so minimizing burning babies actually is okay, but the rest of it I totally agree with.
Now, both sides are burning babies, last I heard.
Sure.
And as antinatalists, we're like, eh.
So to be fair, though, I mean, Israel is not going out and deliberately making that emission. It is collateral damage in war, and that stuff is hard to look at. But like, war is tragedy. this is the story of mankind. So like when, I mean, I would love, of course, to have a war with no hurt civilians, but it's just, it's not like the number of children in Palestine is so skyrocketed high that this is going to happen, right?
And if there were a ceasefire right now, there would still be more conflict. There wouldn't be, that's a right. Ceasefire would not mean peace. It would mean that's a right. Temporary peace.
That's right. They gave the game away. I don't know if you've seen the protests, but they've been very clear with what they want, and that is to destroy Israel, right? And we've seen the chants, you know, when Iran attacked Israel a few days ago, you know, we saw them out there cheering. And I don't believe they want violence. I think they want Israel not to exist, and through that, for Jews not to exist. That is my cold assessment of the situation.
Do you have any Jewish background yourself?
So it's a weird answer, but it's an honest one. I have no idea. I was adopted. What I can say is it seems to me that throughout the difficult parts of my life, when I've looked around, it seems like I've had Jewish people there to help me. The hardest parts of my life in Mississippi, when I was homeless.
Wait, Jews in Mississippi?
Yeah, we've got a lot of them at Ole Miss. So after October 7th, I really kind of started thinking, like, what would my life have been like if there were no Jews around? And I started really having some soul searching about how much I'd taken the support of that community for granted, not just politically, but just like in my personal life. And it was just really, I felt so guilty. Like I just, it's this group of people that have done so much for the left. I think about stuff like, you know, raising money for LGBT causes and just having people write a $25,000 check and like it's nothing. And just realizing how much I'd just taken that for granted and understanding we really had a moral duty to stand up with our neighbors. It's so upsetting to see how so few people are doing that. I'm sorry to get emotional, but it really upsets me.
Now I feel bad for the dead baby jokes.
Don't feel bad, Corinna. Come on. Not for that.
I mean, how do y'all feel?
I have low confidence in any strong opinion regarding what should actually be done in the region. I am alarmed at anti-Semitism's resurgence in culture outside of the region. That's my concern.
Yeah.
And when this started,
I
guess I asked on social media if people distinguish between Zionists and Jews, because I always had, that had always been a very important distinction to me, right? Like I'm not a Zionist, not an anti-Zionist, not a Zionist, but by heritage.
Can you help me understand that distinction? I mean, it seems like you can't be in the middle. Like, you just don't think Israel is that important.
On October 6th, you could be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. On October 6th, up to October 6th, I was just not a Zionist. So, basically, if this were the 40s and Israel were being established, I would have opposed it. I would have been like Hannah Arendt and said, this is not a good idea. Please don't do this. It's not going to be good for Jews or anyone. But we're not in the 40s. We're in today, and Israel is established, and people live there, and people have been born there through no decision of their own. So Israel exists.
Right.
And it's like, decision was made. So that, I guess when I say I'm a non-Zionist, that's what I mean. Like I acknowledge that Israel exists, and that's just how it is. But I don't think of myself as a Zionist, because if it were up to me, this project would not have gone this way. Or
I feel you.
That's not what would have happened. But that is what happened. So I'm not like a booster. I'm not or at least I haven't been. I have not thought like, oh, I need a homeland. Everybody needs a homeland. I'd be like, no, we're a diasporic people. We don't need a country. But since this happened, since October 7th, I have thought somewhat differently about Israel because of the rise of anti-Semitism in Europe, for example. That was really shocking and alarming. And it occurred to me for the first time that, like, if Israel falls, if it goes away, that's not just going to be an issue in the land of Canaan. That's going to be an issue for Jews all over the world. Because when you, I know from personal experience, from my cancel culture experience, that if a mob wants to cancel somebody and they succeed, they get very empowered and they move on to the next target. And the worst thing is when they win. And I am very concerned now for, I guess, world Jewry. And if I think of the existence of Israel or the maintenance of Israel as something that keeps this formerly buried hostility towards Jews in check, then I'm less agnostic about it. Then I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I do want this to continue existing because it has an effect on my life over here in the U.S. I don't like that, but it seems to be the case.
Yeah. So I feel weird having a different opinion because, again, it's your heritage, not mine. But I get to a different place, and you don't need to agree with me. This is just my thinking on it. You know, when you start reading about Jews getting kicked out of country after country after country after the fall of the Second Temple, I mean, this is a lot, right? Like the abuse that has been the history of people, right? So you read about that in like the mission of Zionism to just find a single place to be safe. This makes a lot of sense to me. I don't understand why anti-Semitism seems to be a force that has shaped human history as much as it has been, but it just clearly is. So just pragmatically, I think it makes sense there. How many Arab states? I think it makes sense to have one Jewish state. That's not crazy to me. And then as someone who is 1000% Team America, there's a lot that we get in our relationship with Israel. We get intelligence from a region that does lead to a lot of worldwide geo-instability. We get cybersecurity expertise. If China ends up taking over Taiwan, which I think there's a 1 in 3 chance will be in a hot war in the next 5 years, Israel's chip manufacturing capabilities, that's going to be very important to us. We get training. We get so much back out of this relationship. We get missile defense technology. So I think, like, I am a Zionist in every sense of the word. I think this relationship with Israel is good for American security, something I think that we now have 2 generations of Americans take for granted. And I think it's okay. I don't think Jews need to be shy about saying we deserve our own home. It just seems like a very straightforward calculus to me.
I'm going to pivot here a little bit because listening to your views, it sounds like you would have been very happy if you had had the opportunity to serve in the Obama administration or maybe even the Clinton administration if you had had the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Biden administration has gone considerably left of Obama on a lot of issues. It's even its support for Israel is a bit tepid. But do you feel like that the Democrat Party that you have in your imagination of like what it ought to be, that kind of peaked somewhere around 2010 or something, and it's been a slide?
That's a really hard question to ask. I think that the Democratic Party, I think I have a different view of it than you do because I spend so much time talking to elected officials and playing a very different game than you probably play. So I see the Democratic Party as having a lot of paralysis against taking very strong moral positions, and I see them captured by corporate interests to a point that is not good for the American people. So this push leftwards, I see some policies, and I know we're probably, I understand student loan relief is a mixed bag. I understand some of these executive orders are a mixed bag, but I see an administration overall that has fit with my progressive social values. When it comes to national security and cybersecurity initiatives, I'm a little bit less happy. I don't think of it as, like, I think I have a different paradigm in my mind. I don't think of it as right versus left. I think about who is controlling the incentives for us to get public policy passed. Does that distinguish, the distinction make sense to you?
It's a little hard for me to see it that way, but yeah. It's partly, I'm a libertarian. I'm not a Democrat, but I'm sort of, triggered's not the right word here, but I'm somewhat incensed by the most recent policy regarding the Title IX changes that the administration has in many ways redefined woman in such a way that it no longer refers to a sex class, but rather a label that people can self-apply and choose which sex class they belong to, which I think is diametrically opposite the purpose of legislation like Title IX in the first place.
Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff in there that's very concerning, right? Like the it's moved from beyond reasonable doubt to a preponderance of evidence, which is a civil case standard in the case of, you know, accusations of, right. Sexual misconduct.
Which was how Obama had it.
Yeah. So I think that's very troubling. Look, this non-binary stuff, I'm just going to be straight with you. I personally can't make heads or tails of it. I think they're going through something. They're in the W path. They're two pages in the W path, but they are in the W path.
When you say they, which non-binary are you talking about?
Yeah, right. Non-binary people overall as a class. Uh-oh. I know what you're talking about. But at the same time, you know, kids need to be able to go to school and feel safe. No matter how you feel about non-binary, every kid in America deserves to go to school and feel safe. So I read that, and even though in non-binary, I don't personally understand what non-binary people are going through, I don't think it's in the long-term public interest of this country to have kids that feel bullied or are having this kind of distress where they can't get an education. I understand it's probably an unsatisfying answer, but I'm truly like baffled about what the correct public policy is there. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, we just want kids to go to school, right?
Well, I'm somewhat notorious in some circles now because I have, well, I don't know if you know of anything about my background, but very briefly in 20.
I've seen you trend a few times.
Okay. So, good. In 2019, I started a nonprofit with a couple of people who've been through transition and some of them detransitioned that was mostly about working with providers to try to raise the level and standard of care and informing patients about their rights so that they could go to providers and say, you owe me this.
Great.
Through conversations that I had with providers, I was really shocked. But the level and standard of care around the trans medication is piss poor. And as we see from the CAS review, in the UK, it was not good. And I can tell you in the United States, it's worse than it was in England. Yeah. And I thought, look, if these providers cannot self-manage, if they can't self-regulate, then no matter what, the state has a role as a regulator. The state should do some regulation. The thing that I wanted would be to remove some of the liability shields from the providers so that there were larger windows for patients to come back and sue for malpractice. That's what I wanted, but I could not get any Democrats to come to the table to have any sort of conversations. No, nobody on my side can get very many. There's been like three or four Democrats in various states that have. One of them was physically attacked by his colleagues for at any rate.
Can I just add something really quickly to that? So what you're saying, just so people listening, this is not like a libertarian bunch of bullshit. This is true. What you just said is 100% true. We've got studies to prove it. I've looked at it. Because when I look at a policy, I don't go, boy, Brianna's feelings are probably what's true here. I got to look at stuff and figure out what I believe is right. And I was really shocked and disappointed to see that the WPATH standards for minors, I'm trying to remember the stat off the top of my head, but the WPATH stats for minors, standards for minors to get access to hormones, permanent stuff changing their bodies, only 78% of children meet that criteria. Only 78%. I urge anyone listening to this to go look at it. It's not crazy high. It's stuff like, what, has experienced gender dysphoria for more than 3 months? So it just seems to me like the truth is, if you really dig in and start looking at these studies, we don't have great science on it yet. Mm-mm. And for me, as someone who wants kids to have the ability to transition if they want, the first job is to go get some science to figure out what the fuck is going on so we can get those kids a good, like, medical protocol, right? So I'm fully in agreement with you. And I don't understand why the left is so allergic to having an honest conversation about what we know or don't know, right? So that's my feeling on it.
Well, what I'm seeing now, I appreciate you saying that. What I'm seeing now is that some of these high-profile communicators in the trans community, people like Aaron Reed, people like Alejandra Caballero.
Oh, God.
I'm so sorry. I need the name right in front of me for me to say it. It's not right in front of me. Ari Drennan. There's a few other people. I can't remember the... Anyway,
I know you're talking about Jesse Gender, all those people, kind of the influencers. Yeah. So in your estimation, do you think they're doing, just objectively, let's leave our own personal feelings out of this. So they've kind of taken, they and a lot of people like them have taken their turn at the helm of the ship, kind of steering how the public understands these issues. Let's say it's over the last 5 years. This playbook, which is remarkably consistent. Do you think trans civil rights are stronger or weaker today than they were 5 years ago?
Oh, I don't know if I want to take that question in that form. Do you mind if I change it a little bit?
Go for it, however you feel comfortable.
Do I think public support for policies that specifically grant privileges or entitlements to people who identify as trans, do I think those are stronger or weaker? And I think that's a lot weaker.
The support is weaker. Yeah, the support is weaker. But that's because there's laws now that never existed before that are granting these privileges to, I mean, there's no gatekeeping. And,
well, I don't think that's
true. I mean, if
you think there's no gate,
I mean, there's no gate. Like, if you have a policy for, let's say, change rooms of anyone can use whatever change room they want based on how they identify, there's no gatekeeping there. And so what this does is it opens the door to men, regardless of how they, you know, identify. They have to say that they identify a particular way, and that's it. It's like their word.
Sure.
So that's what I mean by no gatekeeping.
I think that's true. I don't think that's a difference in policy, though. I mean, I think the truth is we had kind of just informal rules for a long time, and it mostly worked out because it was mostly binary trans people transitioning. Today, we've radically expanded who we consider transgender, and accordingly, these situations have gotten much hotter, in my view. Or maybe I'll disagree.
I know you are saying you don't have a clear idea of the people who identify as non-binary, which I think I do. I think it's mostly political instead of gender identity related. But I wonder, from your point of view, whether or not it includes people who identify as non-binary, what would you consider, like, what is a trans?
Well, I have to go to what the WPATH says. And the WPATH has been altered in the last few years to expand and include non-binary people. So, you know, this
and eunuchs.
Is... And that's true. So I have to include them in there because I believe in following the science. Now, if you read what the WPATH says, it's very, very vague. It says the medical treatment for non-binary people, go read it for yourself, is help them find a gender role that works, which is very unspecific when it comes to surgery or hormones or any of that stuff. It's kind of just like, best of luck, kids. We're rooting for you. As far as what I personally consider trans, that is what I consider trans. I also think it's true that, you know, 10, 20 years ago, it really was binary trans people, right? And almost...
Oh, I was there.
Like, yeah. So I really feel like it's almost like we've shut that generation of trans people out of the movement that's supposed to, you know, protect their civil rights. And I don't think that's really fair.
Can you repeat what you consider trans? Can you put it in, let's say, words that someone who hasn't
what's read, in the WPATH
doesn't know anything about WPATH?
Sure. It's would be people that transition, you know, go get a gender diagnostic, you know, gender identity dysphoria diagnosis through the DSM-5, or people that meet those same standards through the DSM-5 that feel like they are neither gender and they want to change their body to kind of erase gender characteristics.
So trans is someone with a diagnosis of gender identity dysphoria. Is that what you called it?
Yeah. For me, yeah. I don't think it's a social... I don't know. I mean, I know I'm probably going to get this clipped and get canceled for it, but I think the path...
You got canceled last month.
That's true. And the month before that.
Okay.
But I think if non-binary people have a future, it's going to be doing studies to figuring out what's going on and developing a better psychological pathway to get them more healthy.
Hmm.
Sounds like you disagree.
I mean, back when they had the Clubhouse app, I don't know if you know what that is. It's sort of like Twitter Spaces. I would go on and I didn't know anybody who was who identified as non-binary. So I'd go sometimes into these rooms and I'd ask, hey, like, help me understand this. I'm not a boomer, but I'm a Gen Xer, which means that I'm almost...
You're Gen X too? Awesome.
Yeah, Nina's Gen X also.
Are you? Oh my goodness.
How many years apart are we, Corinna? Six. Yeah. Corinna is a freak of nature and looks very young.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I'm cheating. But as our longtime listeners know, it's because I bathe in the blood of virgins. where was I? See, I'm losing my memory.
This is the proof.
Non-binaries. So I'd talk to them on Clubhouse and I'd say, look, I have had sex reassignment surgery. I've taken estrogen for X number of years, X number of decades. And I feel like I don't have a gender identity anymore. I am a man who has been surgically and hormonally feminized, and plenty of people make assumptions about my sex class or gender role. Mm-hmm. And whatever. So am I non-binary? No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not non-binary. That doesn't count. And it sounded like in order for me to be non-binary, I had to be an anarcho-socialist with genderqueer fashion that was like sticking it to this cis-heteropatriarchy and like putting up signs in my yard. Like nothing about me, the way that I am, seems like it was sufficient to fit the non-binary category for the non-binaries. And their objections were I wasn't political enough.
Is that really how you see yourself, by the way? Or were you trolling?
No, I'm not trolling. I had an experience in, gosh, about 10 years ago where I used to have what the kids call gender dysphoria, and mm-hmm. it was led to a lot of depression. And I had this one epiphany where I was like, look, there is only so far that you can get with transition, and it doesn't get you all the way through. It gets you part of the way through.
Right.
And instead of suffering all the time, of thinking, why can't I get all the way across? Why am I so inadequate as a woman? And I was like, oh, well, it's because you're a feminized male. This is the reality. If you keep mm-hmm. living in fantasy about something that you can't actually achieve, like I'm not going to be an astronaut either. And if I keep building rockets in my backyard, I'm going to be disappointed. Like start dealing with the reality of where you've landed. And it's like, give that a shot, right? That was my mindset. Give it a shot.
And I think you have every right to define yourself that way. I think the entire question of are trans women women yeah. is deeply unhelpful from a political point of view, because you know, are trans women women? You can't answer this. This is a philosophical question, right?
You can't answer it, or I can't answer it.
I think that there's no objective answer that like proves a truth that you can come to.
Well, that's fair.
Let me just finish.
Go ahead.
So I think at the very least you would agree the other side is never going to look at any argument you give and go, okay, you know what? Karina's right. So the thing I think is much more important and what I want to do in my public role is try to say that's not a really good, helpful question to ask. The real question is, do trans people deserve access to the public commons, right? Do trans children have do we want them to be able to go to school? Do we want trans people to be able to touch the justice system without getting raped, right? You know, do trans people deserve lives of dignity? And to me, that answer is it's an enthusiastic yes. So how do we build a society where people can have lives of dignity? You know, a story from the Obama administration I thought was so inspirational, and maybe you don't, was when, this was in the Trump years, was when Trump did the military ban and he had the Coast Guard coming forward and saying, you know what, these trans people in the Coast Guard, they made a commitment to us. They've served their country. We're going to stand by them. Yeah, I fucking love that stuff. People serving their country, and they should have every single goddamn shot to do that. So that's the right question to be asking. Can yeah. people who are trans live lives and have jobs and serve and be cops and judges and military, like people in the military, can they just have a goddamn life? Or are we going to sit here and argue about some philosophical bullshit? Because I'm not interested in the latter.
I'm going to play the trans card here because
sure.
I have actually Nina. You made me a Jew card. Can you make me a tranny card?
I can't. I mean, not unless I do the circumgender thing. Like I could give you a Jew card because I'm a
Jew. Circumgender. Okay.
But yeah, I guess you could grant me honorary transhood, and then I could make you a trans card.
How about I grant it to all of us, and then we can all argue with me so that we don't have the standpoint epistemology happening.
Exciting.
Nina, I was going to ask for the trans card again. I think anybody who is, I was going to say following the law, as long as the law is just, right? As long as we have just laws, anybody who is following the law ought to be able to live in peace.
Sure.
With dignity, should be able to enjoy the same access to any other sort of civil instrument of the government, should have the same protection under law, should have the same ability to get housing, jobs. I agree with all of that 100% all of the time, regardless of whether somebody declares they have a gender identity or if they don't, or how they dress or anything like that. I agree with that 100% all the time.
Good.
So the thing that has become evident to me is that, and I think that the left is the poison for this, mm-hmm. is you're right, there didn't used to be explicit laws for this. It used to be a social contract where if you assimilated into the opposite sex role and did not create problems for other people, but tried to get along and not demand extraordinary privileges or circumstances, then everything was going to be okay. In fact, there are female former prisoners who are fighting for single space or single sex prison accommodations, who have been in prisons, like have had sex reassignment surgery, have been in prisons with trans prisoners, where the prisoners themselves say this is not sustainable anymore because they keep sending men into women's prisons and women are getting hurt from it.
That can like, I add it's something not sustainable. Super quickly?
Yeah.
So, did you see the infamous Brianna Wu group chat leaks a few months ago?
Yeah. That's why I contacted our mutual friend and said, these are based. We should talk.
Fair enough. So, you know, my group chat, we've been talking about this for quite a while. And there's a study that came out, hand to God, this put the fear of the Lord Almighty himself into me. So they did a study about what actually happens to trans women in prisons.
Yeah.
And there is a practice called husbanding, where they will get the trans people and they will throw them in with the most violent prisoners. And they are now husbands, and taking their turn raping the trans woman kind of keeps them under control, I guess, for lack of a better word. And you know, the number of trans women who leave male prisons with AIDS is through the roof.
Yep.
Go look at that stat. So I'm certainly not denying that what you're saying is true. I think we would probably agree there is a sexual bent to this generation of trans people that is uncomfortable to see sometimes. So no argument there that I'm sure they're dangerous people that are trans and are in prison, and we need a policy about that. But I always find this a little disingenuous because you're missing the other side of it, where trans women are the subject of extraordinary abuse in prisons.
Oh,
so if we're talking about developing a public policy, you've got to take both sides of safety into account.
No, I totally get it. And that's why I brought up and said, even these advocates for single sex prisons have mentioned that they've been housed with people who, I guess did we call them classic transsexuals last time, that made with sugar and cocaine? Because you can't have a classic transsexual without cocaine.
Yeah, there we go.
But let's call them transsexuals and versus
sure.
the new generation I'll call transgender for the scope of this conversation.
Sure.
The transsexuals that have been in women's prisons, which has been going on for decades.
Yeah.
Were able to be in the women's estate because they didn't have penises. Which right. meant that they could not rape women.
Yeah.
Didn't have penises and, or testicles, which has an effect
testicles.
On aggression.
Yeah. Right. The two tend to go together, though. Mm-hmm.
They're right next to each other.
I mean,
I think if you haven't had bottom surgery, you don't belong in a women's prison. I think that's a hard.
Well, unless you're a woman,
I'd be very willing to say. Well, yeah, right, but yeah,
but.
That's not the standard anymore, though. So I agree with you. In a just society, the people who we incarcerate ought to have safety in the institution in which they've been incarcerated. No question about that. But it's like all of the stuff that's falling apart with the support for trans rights at this point is when you see somebody who is clearly has never taken estrogen, clearly has done nothing more than styled their eyebrows, not as good as mine. And
you do have gorgeous eyebrows.
Yeah. See, these eyebrows alone justify my presence in a women's prison.
There you go.
But a lot of these men don't have these beautiful eyebrows, and they go in with intact penises and they're raping women.
Yeah.
Making a claim that they're trans women. This is going to break everything.
Of course it is.
And
just as a TERF here.
You're a TERF, really?
I'm a TERF, but I'm you know, TERF Tranny Alliance.
Yeah, you're a ball cupper.
Ball cup and TERF.
Yeah.
And I'm groomed by this autogynephile here. So
Yeah.
I know. That's just what the
Just because I lick your hair doesn't not mean that I'm look, grooming you.
Look, Brianna. That's the Turf Tranny Alliance emblem.
Sex is real. Weird. People are weird. Yes.
But I do want to say that.
So what makes you a turf? What makes you a turf?
Let's see. First, let me just say that the women Please. That I know who are concerned about men and women's prisons would be happy to see like a trans wing of a men's prison. Like it's never been an either or choice, right? Like, why not make safe spaces for these trans prisoners that don't just throw them into the women's prisons? And I was actually curious hearing you talk, Brianna. I'm wondering what your take is on J.K. Rowling, because I personally think she said many reasonable and
she denied the Holocaust last month. Did? She denied trans people were targeted in the Holocaust. It was crazy.
Well, I guess that answers that question.
Yeah, she's terrible.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
Yeah,
I don't.
She didn't deny the Holocaust. And also, she's been very adamant about wanting the things for trans people that you say that you want, you know, in terms of lives of dignity and jobs and access to services like any in full citizenship. She's always supported that.
Let's be really clear. She started an incredibly mean-spirited tweet just a few weeks ago targeting my friend India Willoughby, right?
Oh.
Calling her a man and lumping her in with a bunch of convicted sex criminals, right? And misgendering them. There's a way to talk about this public policy and how to meet everyone's needs that shows some fucking respect. But yeah. J.K. Rowling is not interested in having a conversation with respect. And in my experience, a lot of TERFs are not either. So, you know, look, I'm a big girl. I went through Gamergate. You can call me any name in the book. That's fine. But I also have to make like professional judgments about who is serious about public policy and who has mental illness. And it's my opinion that a lot of TERFs out there are just the mirror image of a lot of the trans rights extremists.
I would certainly say that about, I mean, that's been a real bummer. We have done a couple episodes on the strain of illiberalism that has hit turfery. And yes, the parallels are clear. But I don't put J.K. Rowling in that category, personally.
I think that she is a uniquely talented woman. I think this shows how much transphobia can rot your brain. Like, she's a billionaire. She's got a show on HBO, On Deck, a new Harry Potter show. And what is she obsessing about and making her public presence about? Like, this? Really? Yeah. Like, you could do anything, girl. You could go, like, really, like, she's close friends with Tony Blair. The UK is a goddamn mess, like outside of trans stuff. Like, go make a difference there. This is what she's worried about. She does it in such a cruel way, it makes her lack credibility. So
the tweets in question were in response to the Scottish hate speech bill. And so she was misgendering India and various other trans identified male. No, she was doing it because the law had changed that day so that people that identified them as male could be jailed or arrested. And she was making a point. She was standing up and saying this to set a precedent, and she was inviting the police to arrest her and jail her. And they didn't. And because they didn't, what that meant is that it's actually legal to identify people based on sex rather than identity, which is important.
it's legal in the United States to use the N-word. I grew up in Mississippi. I heard it used 100 times. I didn't invite those people to my house, and I wouldn't invite a TERF to my house. I just, there's some stuff that's bummer. Just...
Sorry, Nina.
We were getting on so well.
Well, you know, if you will treat... If you treat people with respect, that's all I care about, right? But if you are, like, maliciously misgendering people to make a point, I make a calculation that you're not a nice person. And I choose my friends accordingly on that. That is free speech. That's the way society works. I'm not trying to control what anyone can say. I'm just saying, this is how I assess your character. And that's my prerogative.
So on the claims of Holocaust denial, I have to admit that I got stitched up in almost the identical fashion that J.K. Rowling did.
Really?
And Media Matters, Ari Drennan, asked an intern at Media Matters to do a hit piece on me. So it's out there if you want to look at it.
Cool.
But I was making, it was just a Twitter argument, right? So this isn't like me publishing something in what's a good right-wing outlet? Is the National Review right-wing? I think it is.
Yeah, I would say like, what's Ben Shapiro's
The Daily Wire.
The Daily Wire. Yeah,
Daily Wire.
So it wasn't this. It was a Twitter argument. But I was saying that in Nazi Germany, there did not exist such a thing as a trans community, especially not as we conceive it today. There's a tiny group of individuals that were affiliated around a particular, I forget what the name of the institute is, but like the way that we think of the trans community right now, there wasn't that thing in Nazi Germany. And therefore, as a policy of what the Nazis were trying to accomplish, the Nazis did not see themselves as trying to eradicate trans people.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a conceivable thing for the Nazis to think about. They did target homosexuals, and there were people that they saw as cross-dressers, cross-dressing homosexuals in particular, that were targeted by the Nazis. But there were not Nazis against trans people. The Nazis, like if you could teleport Hitler here. This is already starting off as a bad, and he identified as trans. That's Zinnia Jones's thing. If you teleported Hitler here and you said, name all the groups that you want to see vanquished, he would not name trans people. It wouldn't be conceivable to him.
What year did they develop the Benjamins? Do you know this?
Develop the what?
The Benjamins, the precursor to the WPATH.
Yeah, the Harry S. Benjamin Standards of Care.
You transitioned. You said 20 years ago.
Yeah,
you know
no,
this.
30. It was under the Harry S. Benjamin Standards of Care.
Let's check this.
I think it was a little later than that.
Was it? Hold on.
I think it was late '60s or early '70s that Harry Benjamin developed a standard of care SOC1.
But, so my point is, of course, Hitler did not specifically know like what a trans person was, because we did not even have a definition of that before the SOC was created.
And that's the point that I was making, is that the Nazis couldn't target a group that had no public profile at that point. And I got stitched up for being a Holocaust denier because I was trying to make this point.
But trans people existed before then. You can go read the history. Like this is just because we didn't have a word for it that was the same. That doesn't mean that's not part of the and the library that they burned did have a lot of early research into this.
It did, but that was part of
1979.
Okay, so I was off by a decade. The libraries, that library that burned down was one of scores of cultural institutions that the Nazis targeted that week for destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, who are all the degenerate researchers? Where are all the centers of degeneracy?
Sure.
Not where are the gay people or where are the trans people, and let's target them. They said, let's figure out all of these things that are leading to, not that I'm not saying this to support the Nazis. I'm saying this is their mindset. Their mindset was, let's get rid of all of these things that are causing social degeneracy, not get rid of the transsexuals or the people who are who we would call trans identified now, but let's get rid of the undesirables. So that library that was burned was one of many institutions and libraries that were victims of Nazi actions, like in that very narrow time frame.
Well, I think what I would say is I hear your point.
This damn probably, Nazis.
It's well said. What I did before I decided to critique J.K. Rowling publicly on this is I did my research and I looked at primary sources. And yeah. I'm not a historian. I've not personally gone and looked at the primary source documents on this myself. But I did find credible articles by historians who had written about this. And in their opinion, this did target transgender people in a specific way. And they feel that they were part of the Holocaust. So I have to defer to those experts because I was not there.
I was not
Nina,
there.
Were you there?
Sorry.
God wasn't there either, apparently.
Okay.
Oh, so you can't even ask God.
Fair.
Can we pull up any contemporary wiki articles from that period?
Wikipedia, that's the best.
All right. Hey, I wanted to ask. So
yes.
Since we've been just discussing calm things up to this point, let me bring up something slightly contentious, because I did want to ask you this with this opportunity.
Wait, J.K. Rowling is not contentious?
Not to me.
I like a little contention. I actually...
Please join us in the next episode for part 2 of this podcast.